Good morning to you. Will you turn to Psalm 27, please? Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is the kind of psalm that they call a psalm of confidence. The composer of the psalm, this kind of psalm, has great confidence in God and says so. So we read them and we pray them when we do not have confidence, when we are unsure that God is any help at all in our situation. The psalm of confidence brings us comfort and encouragement. Psalm 23 is like that. The Lord is my shepherd. So David's shepherd psalm shows lots of confidence in God. And when we hear that confidence, we are encouraged and built up and can carry on. So God gives us psalms of confidence for just this reason. God knows that He is completely faithful and that He's taking good care of us, and He also knows that often it does not seem like that to us. So He gives us these psalms. Say this out loud, He says to us. It's true. Pray this. Put your trust in me again. So let's read Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart speaks for you. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and make your heart bold and wait for the Lord. Safe with the Lord, nothing to fear. That's how the psalm begins. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? The first word in the psalm is God's name, Yahweh. Both of these lines begin with God's name. That means verse 1 is about God Himself. The confidence comes from knowing God, knowing Yahweh. Since the Lord is my light and my salvation, fearing someone else makes no sense. Since He is the stronghold of my life, dreading someone else is silly. It's impossible that I would be in danger. It's a bold claim, isn't it? Psalm 23 also begins with God's name. The Lord is my shepherd. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I will certainly get what I need. If He's my shepherd, I'll be well cared for. It cannot be any other way. Psalm 23, can make a liar out of me. These words are bold. Can I actually say this honestly? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? It's all very well for us to read this so we'll feel better, but God hopes we will say this and mean it. Maybe we need to say, I believe God, help my unbelief. God is inviting us to say this to ourselves and to mean it. Perhaps your greatest fear is not a person, but some other circumstance. Let's change it a bit. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. What shall I dread? Even when we are afraid and cannot quite trust these words, even when anxieties are swarming all over us, it's good to say these words. Tell ourselves the truth. Use your own mouth to put the truth into your own ears, because at some level you know that these words are true, even if you cannot leave your dread behind. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with in your mind. Tell yourself the truth. Let's say this out loud together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? Okay? Now I'm going to say it again, and you say it out loud with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When fear gets strong, use fear as a prompt, a cue, to tell yourself some truth. Our minds get in dark ruts. Listen, we cannot control what we feel, but we can control what we tell ourselves. This psalm brings God's truth to our fear and dread. We cannot make the feelings go away, but we could tell ourselves some truth. Say it out loud. At least whisper it so our mouth says it and our ears hear it. This we can do. The liar wants us to feel helpless when we are afraid, but we are not helpless. Telling ourselves the truth is no magical cure, but it is something, and it makes a difference. It gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Fight the fight. Tell yourself God's truth. One thing matters, that I live in God's presence. This is verses 4 to 6. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. This is verse 4, and it explains 1 to 3. How does it happen that God is our light and salvation and stronghold? One of the Bible's explanations for God's protection is that our God is always with us. He never leaves us. Psalm 23 has a line like that. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In the Bible, God speaks to us like that many times. But Psalm 27 is the other way around. God is my light and salvation and stronghold because I am near him. Not because he's with me, but because I'm with him. I want to be in his presence. When we read this psalm, we say, God, I want you. I want to be close to you, so you will take care of me in the day of trouble. What does the psalm actually ask for? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. Priests were the only ones that actually spent a lot of time in the temple. We're not asking to be priests. David is not asking to be a priest, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. God is invisible. He is a spirit. We cannot actually see him. Gaze at what? David is using concrete words, but he means them symbolically. He's not actually asking to spend all day, every day in the house of God, in God's sacred tent, gazing where there is no God to seek. He's saying, God, there's only one thing I want from you. I want I only seek one thing. I want to live close to you. I want to live in your presence. I want to spend all my life near you, in your presence, so that I can enjoy you and seek you, asking you for guidance and help. That is the one thing I want, always to be in your present presence. If I ask one thing, that's what it is. He's not actually asking for an experience. He's not asking to feel God's presence. He's asking to be there. He wants to be in that place, the place that's close to God, near God, in God's presence. Whatever God's presence and dwelling actually is, that's where he wants to spend all the days of his life. To be honest, when I began to realize what verse 4 was saying, I was not even sure I wanted that. It scared me. For me to do the things God wanted was one thing. I could say yes to that. But to spend my whole life that close to him, did I want that at all? Could I say verse 4 to God and mean it? I spent 15 or 20 uncomfortable minutes sorting that out when it dawned on me what verse 4 was about. I think God was watching me just to see what I would do. I was thinking, no, God, I will do what you want, but I am not sure it's safe for a person like me to be that close to you. Do I even want that? And at the same time, God was calling me, and I wanted to say, yes, I want that. Eventually, I could see that not being in God's presence was scarier than being that near to him. And I had to trust that God actually wanted people like me near him. And after about 20 minutes, I could say verse 4 to God and really mean it. This all happened last month in an Edmonton hotel room. But here's how this relates. Verse 4 relates to verse 1. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." This is what the Lord does for me and for you. Do I have a part? Do you and I have a part to play in this? What kind of person can say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation"? It's the person who says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Those people can say, "The Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Above all, you see, God's presence is the safe place. Verse 5 and 6. "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high on a rock." That's the safe place. "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." How shall we actually come near God? The seeking prayer is in verses 7 to 13. The psalm doesn't speak directly to God in verses 1 to 6. Up to verse 6, the psalmist gives us his testimony. But beginning in verse 7, we speak directly to God about these things. So the prayer in verses 7 to 13 has two different cycles of doubt and then confidence. The first prayer cycle says, "Lord, will you receive me?" This is verses 7 to 10. Now doubt comes into David's mind. He really wants to be near God and dwell in God's presence because that's the only safe place to be. But will God take him in? He wants to live in God's dwelling. But will God receive him? Does God even want him in there? "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart speaks for you. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." So here's a call from God seek my face. And we hear a call from God, seek my face. And the response, your face, Lord, I will seek. That was already covered in verse 4. But now the doubt, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. See, he hears a call from God, seek my face. He answers, your face, Lord, I will seek. What does that actually mean? No one can see God, and if we did, we would die. So we cannot take it literally, but let's make it as close as we can. God, I want to be right in front of you. I want to be where you are so that if I could see you, your face would be right there. It is the only safe place to be in the day of trouble. Have mercy on me and receive me. Verse 4 said, one thing I ask in the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So verses 7 to 9, turn that desire into prayer. Hear my voice when I call. Be merciful to me and answer me. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject or forsake me, God, my Savior. In this prayer, we doubt that God wants us that close. What if God hides his face from me? What if he turns me away in anger? We know very well that God has good reasons not to want us in front of him. This psalm does not mention sin, but our sin and our failure are why God would hide himself and turn us away in anger. Be merciful to me. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. And this doubting prayer ends with confidence in verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Rarely will parents forsake their children, though it does happen. But God always, always receives those who seek him. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I love that line. You have never forsaken those who seek you. So in Psalm 27, God calls us to seek him. The safe place is God's dwelling. And this psalm urges us to come near to God because his dwelling, his presence is the safe place. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. So this whole prayer, Psalm 7 to 13, is how we come near. The second prayer cycle is, Lord, teach me and lead me. This comes in verses 11 to 13. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We cannot ask to live in God's presence without agreeing to live in his ways. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. We ask God to help us live in his ways. That's part of being in his presence. And he does this for us, and I am so glad. Listen, he has changed your life and mine by doing this very thing. He has been teaching us his way. He has been leading us in a straight path, and it has changed our lives. Psalm 23 says, he leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. So earlier, we said, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. And we say that because we have failed and we know we have failed and we ask for mercy. But we don't just ask for mercy. We also say, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. Make no mistake, there are people and there are spiritual powers who would love to see you and me fail miserably to live in God's ways. Human and spiritual powers would love to see us fail miserably. We can pray about that. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. So the prayer of 7 to 13 has two cycles. The first doubts that God will receive us when we seek him, and ends in confidence. And the second wonders if we'll be able to live in God's ways, and asks for help, and that also ends in confidence. And the final call, final confidence call, is in verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and make your heart bold, and wait for the Lord. Make your heart bold is my literal translation of what it says in Hebrew. I like that because it's kind of preposterous. Can we even do that? Can you and I make our hearts bold? Apparently we can. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Make your heart bold. Wait for the Lord. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. It means living faithfully. And God's telling us he has this under control. He has the situation in hand. And if we are in his presence, we're in a safe place. God really hopes we will take comfort and courage from that. In conclusion, I want to repeat the three requests of Psalm 27. The confidence of Psalm 27 builds on three requests. One, Lord, I want to spend all my days in your presence, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to spend all my days in your presence. Second prayer, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Don't turn me away in anger. Don't reject or forsake me. Okay. Three, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Those are the three requests. The psalm does not ask for safety or protection. If we're in his presence, we're in a safe place. It asks for God's presence. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. And so the psalm brings us into God's presence. And then verse 14 is for us. Wait for the Lord, be strong, make your heart bold, and wait for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Pray along with me, please. Great God, we want to live in your dwelling and be in your presence all the days of our lives. Lord, don't hide your face from any of us. Don't turn your servants away in anger. Thank you that you have never forsaken those who seek you, Lord. Teach us to follow your ways. Lead us in the right paths. We need your help with this. Thank you for being our light and our salvation. Thank you for being the stronghold of our lives. Thank you that when the day of trouble comes, you keep us safe in your dwelling. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.